Well, last year, our Christmas was just the three of us. There were three of us for Christmas, very small. This year, there's 30. I kind of exaggerated a little bit. There's 29 of us, and it's going to be fun, but it took a lot more planning. As I speak, meat is cooking on my brand new smoker, 12 kilos. I've never done it on this scale before. I haven't really done it this way before. What could possibly go wrong? That big red egg could be an omen of disaster or a symbol of success. What I'm hoping for this Christmas, or in this instance, is plans unfolding, not things unravelling. Plans unfolding, not things unravelling. Whatever your Christmas plans are this year, I'm very happy that you chose to make us a part of them. And this morning, so I want to say thanks for coming. And I don't know how the rest of your day will unfold, but my Christmas wish for you, my prayer for you, is that Christmas would go as planned. That's my prayer for you, that Christmas would go as planned. My heartfelt desire for everyone is that you would personally experience Christmas, which goes according to plan. When it comes to the story of the first Christmas, it doesn't sound like things are going to plan, does it? It sounds like things unraveling, not plans unfolding. We got a sense of that in the social network Christmas. Here is Mary, pregnant before she's officially married. Joseph fails to make reservations in Bethlehem. The whole birth of a long-promised, long-awaited Messiah seems all very last minute, making things up as it goes along. Here is a baby lying in a manger. Mary has reached term, and yet no one thought to bring a porta-cot. Seriously. The Christmas story that we are most familiar with seems to be the story of nothing going particularly according to any sort of plan. But the account of the first Christmas, as recorded by Matthew, does give us a hint of a plan. He does tell us that Mary is found to be pregnant before she's officially married. That doesn't sound like things going according to plan. But then Matthew says in chapter 1, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And what did God say through the prophet Isaiah 750 years beforehand? Now that's what we heard in that video, Operation No More Tears. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so that was a planned pregnancy. That was how God intended it for it to unfold. God did have a plan, and here it is. It's unfolding. It's not unraveling. But Matthew doesn't stop there. In chapter 2, we meet the wise men. Now, these guys are from a country outside of Palestine. They are not part of the Jewish nation. But they arrive in Jerusalem, the spiritual capital of the Jewish people. And they start asking around, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him. Now God placed a sign to lead these wise men to Jesus. There is a plan. Now then we read in their quest causes quite a bit of angst. King Herod is angsty because someone else is after his job. The religious leaders, I think, are disturbed as well. It doesn't say in the text, but foreigners have learned about this significant religious event before them. So it's no wonder the people of Jerusalem were perplexed. That's not a good atmosphere for celebrating the first Christmas, is it? Your leaders are all on edge. But sure enough, the religious leaders consult their Bibles and they find out that God's plan for this promised one is to be born in Bethlehem. We see that in verses 5 to 6. What we see here is that the wise men from the east have been let in on God's plans for the first Christmas. And so for all the seeming chaos, we see this first Christmas is actually going according to plan. Plans are unfolding. Things are not unraveling. These are not a random string of events. This has been meticulously planned and well advertised for a very, very, very long time. Have you ever wondered why the wise men are called wise? We read in some carols they're called kings. In some translations of the Bible they're called magi, and in others they're called wise men. Well, I don't know about the official reason, but I think the reason I think they're wise is that they were happy to go along with God's plans on that first Christmas. They understood that there was something much bigger than them afoot, and that they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to go and see, check things out. We aren't told how they knew that the star that they saw was pointing to the one to be born king. We're not told how they knew, even as foreigners, that when they got there, they should bow down and worship him, recognize his rule. But we are told that that is what they did. Take a look at verse 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let me say that this is the right response to Jesus, God's Christmas plan. To recognize his rule, to bow before him in praise. Now, there are a lot of Christmas cards with these guys on camels on the front. We got a couple this year, actually. Did anyone else get a Christmas card with guys on camels? The wise men going to find Jesus? They are cards celebrating the wise response. But I wonder, did anyone get a Christmas card with Herod on the front and his response to Jesus' birth? We read in verse 13 that Herod isn't very interested in worshipping Jesus, instead the one born to be king of the Jews. He doesn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to wipe him out. Now take a look. It'll be up on the screen. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." You see, that is not a very wise response. If it is wise to check out Jesus, God's Christmas plan, then let me say that it is very unwise to resist God's Christmas plan. It's unwise to resist or even ignore Jesus, because it will never come to anything good. You see, no matter how secretive or conniving Herod is, he doesn't catch God off guard. God tells the wise men in a dream, Herod is up to his old tricks. Go home a different way. Don't talk to the king anymore. God tells Joseph in a dream about the king's plans to try and kill the infant Jesus, so he better just get out of Palestine for a while. God has also told a variety of prophets, hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand, that this would happen, that Herod would be unwise and cruel. And so we see a few examples of this, verse 15, verse 17, where Matthew says, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. God's plans are unfolding. Things are not unraveling. The reason we get Christmas cards depicting the response of the wise men is because worshipping Jesus is the wise response, the one that leads to joy and celebration. The reason that Herod doesn't feature on Christmas cards is that it's not a wise response. It's not something to be celebrated. And instinctively, we know that Christmas is a time of joy and celebration, don't we? We recognize it when we buy special food for Christmas Day, when we spend money on thoughtful gifts for the ones we love, when we take time to be with friends and family. This is why that feeling is absolutely true. Because on the first Christmas, God sent his king into the world, a reason for joy and celebration. Good news that God loves his people and his ancient plan of rescue is being revealed. And if this season is a time of sadness, or if there is some sadness or an increased sense of loneliness, then may I suggest that Christmas is a reminder that it will not always be this way, not for God's people. God has come to rescue, to walk with us in our suffering, and one day he will take us home to be with him, a family reunion for all eternity. It's going to be good, isn't it? Let me read some of those words from the opening video, Operation No More Tears. These words are about God's long-promised king, the one who arrived on the first Christmas. He will be a king, but he won't live in a palace. He won't have lots of money. In fact, he'll be poor, and he will be a servant. But this king will heal the whole world. He will be a hero. He will fight for his people and he will rescue them from their enemies. But he won't have big armies. He won't fight with swords. He will make the blind see. He'll make the lame leap like a deer. He will make everything the way it was always meant to be. But people will hate him. They won't listen to him. He will be like a lamb. He will suffer and die. It's the secret rescue plan we, the Father and the Son, have made from before the beginning of the world. It's the only way to get you back. But he, the king, the hero, won't stay dead. I will make him alive again. And one day, when he comes back to rule forever, the mountains and the trees will dance and sing for joy. The earth will shout out loud. His fame will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Everything sad will come untrue. Even death is going to die. And he will wipe away every tear from every eye. Yes, the rescuer will come. Look for him, watch for him, wait for him. He will come, I promise. Love God. It's a great letter, isn't it? At home we have a little nativity scene. We gave it to our daughter when she was just very little, and we've set it up every Christmas season for the past 100 years or so. My daughter and I have a little tussle over which one's Joseph and which one's a shepherd. Kate thinks that shepherd is really Joseph. I think Joseph is actually Joseph. So every time we walk past, we're just playing. It's like a little game of chests. But that little scene is cute and Christmassy. It's another one of our Christmas traditions, but it's missing a vital aspect of that first Christmas nativity. You see, it doesn't have the cross in the background. On that first Christmas, resting in the background of the nativity scene was the cross on which Jesus, the Saviour, would die, where he would deal with the brokenness of all who call on him in faith and belief. On that first Christmas, God's eternal plan of rescue for this world, for his people, were unfolding. Things were not unravelling. The unwise response, which leads to misery and death, is to reject him or ignore him, or to live apart from him. The wise response is to seek out the King and to worship him. You see, God's Christmas plan is that you would see, that you would meet the King, Jesus. When I said before that I hope each and every one of you has a Christmas which goes according to plan, my hope is that you will have a Christmas which goes according to God's plan, that you might meet his King, that you might understand clearly who Jesus is and what he has to offer. One of my plans for next year, 2023, pretty much the same as my plan for last year, help people understand who Jesus is. And we're going to do that in a number of ways here. Firstly, I've got a Christmas gift if someone wants to come and see me. I've got a few of these. This is the Gospel of Matthew. And actually, it's an excellent way of reading the Gospel because it's got the words on one page and space for questions or observations or prayers on the other side. And so if you would like this, if this would help you to investigate and find out more about Jesus, come and see me. I think I've got four. I'm happy to give them away. And then on January 29, we start a series in this book of Matthew. We're going to be taking a look, a more in-depth look at the book of Matthew, the first four chapters in the first term of next year. You're more than welcome to join us and investigate Jesus more. If you'd just like to get a general, a better idea about Christmas, then we've got a number of these books up on the way out, on the bench on the way out. And these are for free. Just grab one and take them with you. And then next year in February, we're starting Meeting Jesus, our evangelism course next year. So that's a way of looking into finding out who Jesus is. If you fill out the QR code, if you QR code with your phone and fill out the form, or go to our website and contact us through there, then we will get back to you and let you know when that starts so that you can find out more about who this Jesus is. There's no pressure. We can't make anyone be a follower of Jesus, but we can help you understand who he is, what the Bible claims, and why we think you should embrace him as your King and your Savior as well. And if you do know Jesus, then let this be a reminder to you. No matter how unraveled this world gets, and it doesn't seem to take much these days for our world to unravel a bit, does it? Remember that God has got this under control. Christmas is a reminder that God's plans are unfolding, that things are not unraveling. And whatever else you do this Christmas, let me encourage you and exhort you to respond wisely to God's Christmas plan. Search out the King. I pray that your Christmas would go according to plan. Also praying that my meat will be tender, juicy, and delightful.